From the Kendrick Brothers, creators of War Room and Fireproof, comes Life Mark.
Always wondered if my biological parents think about me.
Inspired by a true story.
Imagine how scared she must have been. And then the decision to place you for adoption.
Is that your birth mom?
She wants to meet.
Really?
Yeah. She loved you, and I'm so glad that she made the choice that she did.
Life Mark, starring Kirk Cameron and Alex Kendrick. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Only in theaters beginning September 9th. For tickets, go to LifeMarkMovie.com.
Miracles are everywhere.
Let our adventure begin!
Discover PureFlix, your premium streaming service where faith and family values come home.
Ready to have some fun?
The most exclusive selection of quality, wholesome movies and series that will uplift your spirit.
A man can argue whether God exists, but when he looks at his daughters, he knows.
With new arrivals every week.
Unbelievable.
Save big and enjoy the possibilities, like invitations to exclusive theatrical screenings.
I see it, so I believe it.
Find out more by joining today at PureFlix.com.
As President Trump's first Deputy National Security Advisor, she helped set standards in the White House. In the Pentagon, she was the equivalent to a four-star general. And now, it's time to set the record straight. It's The Briefing with KT McFarland, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
You know what a big deal I make on my show of bringing really articulate female voices to the table? There's a main reason why I do that, friends. And part of it is just this talk radio is so inundated with male all the time. It's not that they're bad, but you never get the other half of the conversation. And when the other half of the conversation is more informed and more educated and many times more articulate than the side that's there, I find it refreshing to go there. It's one of the reasons why I've invited brilliant minds like KT McFarland to be part of this work from the very beginning. And KT, a longtime friend. KT, I find myself, from your segments with me, I find myself quoting you to generals and senators and vice presidents and all kinds of other people. The expertise that you bring to the simplest of discussions is just so beneficial to everyone that hears it. I can't say how much I have respect for you. Thank you for being back.
Well, with an introduction like that, I may invite you to give my eulogy someday.
I'd be more than humbled and honored to do that. But I don't want you. I'm going to die before you, so don't even joke about that anymore. Your expertise is in national security and foreign affairs, and that's how you served in the capacity to the presidents that you served. Lots of people that you know, lots of people that we have on this show are talking about China. There's been, you know, this notice of, you know, their moves with Russia and what's going on, how they're kind of co-opting people in the region. You got North Korea firing that missile across Japan yesterday, and China didn't tell North Korea to sit down and be quiet. In fact, we didn't either. But there's a lot of people that still say China is the biggest problem that we face. What are your thoughts about how we handle them? And are there any historical comparisons to other major powers that we could adopt lessons from?
Yeah, I was in the Reagan administration, and the way Reagan took down the Soviet Union without firing a shot, I would add, is that it was a very comprehensive step-by-step strategy. So the first thing is we matched them. They had a military buildup in the 1970s, so we had a buildup, a Reagan defense buildup, so we matched them militarily. Not that we would use it, but at least they didn't have an advantage. And then we set out to bankrupt them, and we set out to out-technology them. So, for example, in the 1980s, the Russians didn't have Xerox machines. We did, and we had a whole lot of other technology. So we put together a list of things that could not be exported to the Soviet Union, nor could they be countries that we did sell them and export them to. Could they then, on a knock-on effect, export to the Soviet Union? And that was a whole range of technology. So the Soviet Union was starved of technology. The next thing we did was bankrupt them. And that was President Reagan and all of us knew that if the Soviet Union, which needed oil and natural gas exports to stay alive because it was the only thing that other countries would buy from the Soviet Union. Nobody bought, you know, Soviet cars. Nobody bought Soviet fashion. And so we knew if we could target their oil and natural gas industry, we could bankrupt them. And we, at the time, were not exporting. We didn't have the capability to export oil and natural gas in large quantities. We were getting a lot of ours from the Middle East. But we could bring down the price of oil as a favor. So the President Reagan sent General Walters to the Saudis and said, look, it's not your economic interest, but why don't you pump a lot more oil bring the price of oil down, and we'll be your best friends forever. And so the Saudis did that, and as a result, oil went from $40 a barrel to $18 a barrel in a nine-month period in the late 80s. And what that did was it cut Russian Soviet revenues more than in half. So all of a sudden, they didn't have any money to pay for anything. So they were broke. So then the next step was to make sure that our European allies were on board. So we went to our European allies, we strengthened the NATO alliance, we convinced our European allies to also modernize their militaries, mostly at our expense, but we did that. And then the final nail in the coffin was the Star Wars proposal. I wrote the first draft of that speech that President Reagan gave. It was a defense speech. And he challenged the United States scientific community to come up with a defense missile system, a defensive system that would guard against incoming Soviet missiles. We didn't have the technology at the time, but we had a lot of the ingredients and sort of potential technology to create that would have happened in 10 or 15 years. And when President Reagan did that, then the Soviet Union, now from the Soviet Union's perspective, they're broke. They're already spending all they can on defense. They can't do another defense buildup and a defense space race. Right. They had all those other problems with technology. And then the final thing was in the last 2 years of the Soviet Union, they had crop failures. They could not borrow on the international banking system because we had prevented that from happening. So they were broke. They were hungry. They knew that the gig was up. And that's how the Soviet Union collapsed economically. We outspent them and we outmaneuvered them. Now, if you look at China today, what could we do today? Well, the situation is different. China is a much bigger economy. We rely on exports. I mean, we import stuff from China. And so we don't have a lot of the same weapons, economic weapons and technological weapons that Reagan had in the 80s, but we have other weapons that we can use. So we could, for example, do what Reagan did, which is to stop technology transferring into China. The second thing we could do is we could build up our technology. You know, in the 1970s, we were lagging way behind the Soviet Union in technology, military technology, but we built it up, and part of it was that we had a massive national spending program to continue research and development. I mean, a lot of the technologies we have today, and it's everything from like Ziploc bags to Teflon, came about, GPS, for example, came about because of the Reagan defense buildup in the 1980s. We could do that again. We're spending a heck of a lollapalooza amount of money on stuff that doesn't matter. We should be spending and coordinating a national research program with China. And we should then also do what we did in the 1980s, you know, emphasize science and technology and STEM topics in our schools instead of woke technology, instead of wokeism. We might want to urge our students to study math and science and technology. We could do all of those things. We're just not doing any of them right now.
Yeah, well, and there's so much that, you know, the last 2.5 years have gone backwards with in terms of our own capability. And it's odd how energy always seems to still be in kind of the center of the discussion, right? So Reagan knew that it would help bankrupt the biggest enemy there. If we were independent with our own energy production today, we could help Europe recover. We could get rich. We could choke out our enemies, and the world would change. And I love your ideas specifically related to China as well. Always appreciate it, KT. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You got it. Kevin McCullough coming right back. My final thought. Don't go away.